is running around anymore. I'm not running here and there and trying to please this one and please that one. I'm only here to please the Father, amen? And so I spend a lot of time by myself. And so when we get an invitation to somewhere to go, we go. Because not everybody invites us to go because there's stuff going on that they don't want us to see or they don't want to see us. But when an invitation is sent out to you and I, we need to receive it because somebody wants your presence. Somebody is actually wanting you to be there. And so how do we say no? So when these doors are open for church, for Bible study, there's an invitation that's being sent, and you're not taking that invitation very serious. Oh, I'm not going because I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to tell you that these doors are open, and God is saying right now that he wants the church to rise up. And rise up and walk in the fullness that he has taught you. Because he has taught us. I'm talking to a seasoned church. I'm not talking to a baby church right now. We've been seasoned. And by saying that, we pretty much know the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, he is pouring out his presence like never before. And he will teach you. Amen. If you're willing to be taught, he will teach you. And so I come here with a humble spirit because I remember, when I first started preaching until now, God has given me a spirit of peace, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind, a spirit that I know who I am today in Christ Jesus. It took me many years to come to this place where I'm at today. And so I'm not taking this lightly. I see things. We should be able to see things in the spiritual realm. We should be able to hear things in the spirit realm. If we're not seeing things and we're not hearing things, it's because we have not set ourselves apart. No other reason why. Why should somebody be up here saying, oh, this is like the greatest word or the greatest message, and you're going to be in awe? No, we should all, okay, God, you're confirming that to me because I already know that. But the church don't know that. And this is where God wants us to get in the word of God, read the word of God for yourself, write the scriptures down, go and meditate on them, because all we're doing is giving confirmation to something that God has already given you. And we don't walk in it. And so he's saying this hour, I need you to walk in what I've given to you. He's given you and I the authority, the dominion over the earth, over the devil, and the devil is under your feet. And there shouldn't be all this nonsense that's going on, but we do go through trials and tribulations, sickness, heartache, brokenness. We go through all that, but we just go through it. God is exposing those people around you that are doing things that are not supposed to be done. Because if I go tell you, you're not going to listen. But if God tells you, you're going to listen. Amen. I could tell you till I'm blue in the face, this is what God wants you to do. But until God gets a hold of you, you're going to listen to God. Amen. I'm just going to give this. So God took me to Genesis. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 26. Again, remember I told you that Pastor Pete opened up this service with Genesis 28. He took us right into the blessing. Deuteronomy. Genesis and Deuteronomy, they kind of pick up. But from the blessings, this is where we're going to get the blessings. I'm going to give a message out of Genesis 26. For those of you that know, when I speak, I always have visuals. I don't have a visual because I would have loved to have got a shovel. Because we're going to talk about digging those ditches. But everybody knows when they seen this right away, they said, oh, Pastor Denise, are you preaching? Because I like to have visuals. And, you know, we've turned these things, in the church into a mockery of God. You know, when God gave the men these these prayer shawls, and, it's okay to have a prayer shawl. You could go in your prayer closet. It's not to parade stuff around. If you're not walking in the righteousness of God, I don't know. I'm not anyone to judge, but I know what the word of God says. And I like to have visuals, but this was for me when I go into my prayer closet. It's covering me in the presence of God. That's it. All this means something. I'm not teaching on that this morning, but this is how the Lord has showed me to pray, to go into my secret closet, shut the door, and pray. And so that's how I do that. But we're going to be in Genesis. You know the story. I'm just going to give you a little bit. How many know that life repeats itself? Life repeats itself. Amen. I had a dream, and I shared it a little bit on Thursday. I'm not going to go there about the dream tonight, but the part of that dream was my daughter. I was dreaming about my daughter. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord said that you that are believers, that are Christians, that have called out to be the set apart ones, the disciples, the ones that are teachers, to go lay hands on your children, to go lay hands on your family. Because right now he's setting some stuff free, but it's going to take someone to go out there and do it. Amen. So you have the authority. And so in the dream, my daughter Misty She was in my dream, and I seen heartache, I seen broken, I've seen all kinds of stuff, you know. And I said, I don't call my daughter, I don't get into their business, I don't ask them anything, I let them, all I do is pray for them. And I happened to call her, and when I called her, she broke down, and she was feeling less than. And I'm just sharing this because you don't know where your kids are at in their walk. You don't know right now if they're feeling bad, but God had to wake me up in a dream to pray for my daughter, and I called her, and she poured her heart out. I had no idea, because I see them. They're good. The family's good. The boys are good. They're going here, going there. They're going to Hawaii, not realizing in all that there's brokenness. And so God is saying to go, call up your sons, call up your daughters, say, hey, mom was thinking about you. I just want to tell you I love you. I'm sorry if I've said or hurt you, but I love you, and I guarantee you they'll tell you I love you too. It's real simple. And this, when God was showing me this, the book of Genesis, of course, you know the story about Abraham. It's about Isaac, and it's about Jacob and everybody else after that. But God took me back to Isaac. Okay, so I'm saying this, that the life repeats itself. And it was just amazing, because whatever we do when we're young and we're growing up and we have our children, they're going to see the things you do and just repeat it. If I had abortion, my girl's going to have abortion. If I live with somebody, they're going to live with somebody, because they're saying, it's okay if mom does it. The only person that ever mattered to me in my life growing up was my mother. I couldn't stand my mother. I hated my mother. I didn't like my mother. But I knew somewhere deep down that I needed to love my mother. And my mother would be the only one to give me any kind of advice. But I used to say, how could I take her advice if she's not doing it? And I was just like my mother. My husband used to say, the apple don't fall from the tree, or fruit. I didn't understand that. I never understood that. When he would tell me that, go right over my head. I don't care what he said. I didn't understand it. But I was a product of not knowing Jesus. I was a product of being insecure, a product of abandonment, a product of not being able to love, because nobody loved me and held me as a child. Nobody taught me how to sit at a table to eat. There's a lot of things that I didn't have a childhood. I didn't play with dolls. I didn't know what a doll was. I didn't have a birthday cake. And I told you, some of you know that I love birthdays, you know, when I came to find out, birthday. And I don't care if you say, oh, no, I don't want nothing for my birthday. We do. I just know that. And so growing up, I'm going to be speaking a lot about, now I'm able to speak about my past, because now I know who I am. And I know who I am in Christ. And so when I read these stories, I'm telling you, I need Jesus. I don't know if you need Jesus, but I need Jesus. I need a new Bible. My Bible is falling apart. But see, I didn't have man tell me this. The Holy Spirit took me to reading. And when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, I took the Word of God serious. When he said I'm blessed, I'm blessed. When he said you're forgiven, I'm forgiven. When he said you're redeemed, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so when God is talking to me and you, I just believed it. But because I didn't have all the nonsense of a church to hear different sermons, different preachers, different teachers, I went in and read for myself. So then when I came into the church, I could say, hey, that's not right, because that's not what the Lord said to me. Because in the Bible, it says this. And so this is how we get to know who we are. And so growing up as a kid, I think about having no father there, and my daughter went through the same thing, and she just broke down because her father, and she has all these things, and I told her exactly what she needed to do. As a mother today, I told her exactly what she needed to do, told her it's real simple, mijo. And I went on and told her. And so when you're reading these stories in the book, it's just a different generation. Say different generation. Say generation. We're just in a different generation doing the same thing, that they did, but we have more technology, more evil, you know, so we walking in what we know. And so when Isaac was now in going out, and Abraham was already blessed, so he was already blessed, so his sons were going to be blessed, his children's children was already going to be blessed. We're already blessed people. When we come into the kingdom of God, we're already blessed. But he had to lie, and he deceived some things. Abraham lied and deceived about who his wife was, because he didn't want to get killed. Isaac deceived and lied about his wife because he didn't want to get killed. So when one generation dies out, the next generation, the mantle is passed on to the next generation. So the mantle should be passed to your children of whatever that you're being taught. You should be teaching your sons and daughters. Amen. And that's how the church begins to grow. But if you're not growing and you're not teaching, it stays stagnant. And so with Isaac at this time, the Lord appeared to Isaac for the very first time. There's a very first time when God appeared to Abraham. There was a very first time when God appeared to Isaac. There's a very first time when God appeared to you and I. Do you remember that first time when God appeared to you? I don't know if you do, but I remember the very first time. So the Lord appears to Isaac, and in that time there was a famine, and God was telling Isaac, do not move and go back to Egypt. Do not go back to that place, just like he told Abraham. But what was so ironic is that Abraham had made a covenant, because we're going to be talking about digging wells, but with Amalek, the king of Egypt. But Abraham had made a covenant with him that these wells belonged to him. But they stole the wells. There was something going on that we're going to read. I'm not going to go through the whole story because I don't have a lot of time. But Amalek discovers the truth matter, and he embarrasses Isaac, because if he would, Amalek was kind of looking out the window, and he's looking at Isaac and Rebekah when he had just finished saying that that's his sister, that they were laughing together, and he was like, you know, kind of looking at her. And so the king automatically knew that there's something up. That's his wife, because he wouldn't be doing that. But Isaac doesn't know this. See, sometimes we think God's not watching us, but God is watching everything that you are doing. Amen? He is watching everything that you and I are doing. I don't care, good, bad, whatever. He is watching you. This is why I don't got to worry about the church, because it ain't about me looking. It's about God. And if I'm going to fear anybody, I'm going to fear God. So the king is looking at Isaac, and he's watching him. He goes, you know what? He lied to us. How many has lied to someone just to get your way or lie? You know, I've lied in my past, and I'm not thinking it's any big deal. But he says, okay. So he goes on, and I want to say this, that God reaffirms the Abraham covenant to Isaac. All I'm doing today is reaffirming the covenant that God have had with you and I. There's a covenant that God made with you and I, just like he made it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. Because if he said it to them, we're part of the promise. Aren't we part of the promise? In the new covenant, Jesus said, you know, that we're part of the promise, that he came to redeem a people. So we're part of those people. I'm going to pick it up right here on Genesis 26, chapter 26, verses 2. I'm going to pick it up right there on verse 2. It goes on to saying this. It says, and then the Lord appeared to him. Him was Isaac. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. See, God is going to tell you stuff right now. God is revealing himself. He's going to say, don't do this, but you want to hear it from God, and then there's going to be confirmation from somebody else. He told him again, do not go down to Egypt. Stop doing the stuff that you're doing. Period. It ain't nothing hard about it. If you're doing something that you know you're not supposed to be, he says, stop it. Just stop it. He told them, don't do that. Don't go back. So if God's delivered us and taken us out of something in our life, he's delivered me from drugs, drinking, all kinds of nonsense. He delivered me. When he delivered me, I never went back. But then I didn't know I needed to have deliverance of knowing how to love, knowing how to forgiveness. He started the first things. So he does first what's first, what needs most. I needed to stop drinking. I needed to stop cursing. I needed to stop doing drugs, because I did. I did drugs. I needed to stop lying. And so he delivered me from that. I never did it again. Once I was delivered, I stopped. So he says, don't do that. So he's telling me to tell you, stop doing the things that you know that you're not supposed to be doing. Don't go back. Don't go back. It goes on to say, verse 3, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. If you dwell in the land that I tell you, I told you to come to United in him. I've led you here. I brought you here. He says, and I will bless you there. For you and your descendants, I give all this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham. He's talking to Isaac, but he's talking to us. Whatever I promised Abraham, I promise it to you. Amen? For your father, Abraham, verse 4. You know what, Mio? I put the scriptures, but for time's sake, I'm just going to kind of just read the Genesis 26. Because on 26:2, God appears to Isaac, but in Genesis 12:7, the God appeared to Abraham for the first time. If you read the study, I'll just give you the scripture if you want to read it later. But on Genesis 12:7, that was the first time that the Lord experienced Abraham. I mean, Abraham that showed up. And anyway, Genesis 26:3, it says that from Genesis 26:3, we go to Genesis 17. Do you have that on there? Okay, go to Genesis 17:19. It says, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after me throughout the generations. So remember I said generations. So we're part of this generation. I just wanted you to see that. Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith he dwelt in the land of the promise as a foreigner country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him, and the same promise. And that's Hebrews. So we have the same promise. I just want you to know that you do know this, but I need to have you hear it again. We have the same promise that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same promise. So Pastor Pete went to Deuteronomy 28, and he told you the promises. So go back to read that because you need to know the promises if you don't know. Let's go back to Genesis 26:4. He says, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations. He didn't just say one nation. He said all nations, all people, you and I. All. He was not talking to one person, and this is in the book of Genesis. This is in the Old Testament. This is the Torah, the first five books of Moses. But in here it says, to all of the earth shall be blessed. I'm going to say of the earth, and the earth shall be blessed. So we're living in a blessed world. We're living in a blessed world. So why so much nonsense? Why are so many people lost and broken and not realizing who they are? I thank God. The one thing that I thank God for right now that I'm saved, that I'm not sitting in an old bar drinking a beer. I would feel so dumb. I would feel so stupid. I wouldn't even know how to act at my age to see myself go back to a bar. I wouldn't even know how to act. We see some dumb stuff. That's just me. That's what I'm saying. I thank you, God, that I'm not one of these, you know, people in there trying to, act a fool. I don't need drinking to do that. It goes on to say verses 5. It says verse 5. It was just so good. I mean, I got so blessed. Maybe it was just me. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. Because Denise obeyed my voice. Because Larry, because Ricardo, because Pastor, put your name, because you have obeyed my voice and kept my charge, I command my statutes and my laws. He says, I command my statutes and my laws and my, amen? And the six, verse 6. So Isaac dwelled in Gerar. I'm going to say Gerar. I'm going to probably mess it up. But and the men of that place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister, liar. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, man, sometimes our thoughts are not even what we think it is. Oh, did you hear that? Maybe, you know, I said, don't go there. You don't know what they're thinking. But isn't that how we are? Oh, I just think that he said this or that. But because he thought, lest the men would place and kill me for Rebekah, because she's beautiful to behold. Verse 8. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, Amalek the king of the Philistines looked through a window. This is where he was looking at him. Know that God is looking at you. He was looking through a window, and Isaac has no idea that he's looking through this window. And Rebekah, his wife, verse 9, Amalek called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she's your wife. Well, you know, and then he's talking to him and telling him, quite obviously, she is your wife. He says, so how could you say she is my sister? Well, prior to that, wasn't that what Abraham did about his wife, Rachel? You know, he lied because he thought that they were going to kill him and take his wife and take all what he had. But Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her, on account of her. And what I really, really loved is that God had talked to his wife, Rebekah, before God talked to Isaac. There's a place in the Bible where he says, God talked to Rebekah before he talked to Isaac. So I need somebody to listen to what I just said. I need somebody to hear what I just said right there. God talked to Rebekah before he talked to Isaac. God is going to talk to some of you wives before he talks to your husband. but I just don't want to miss this. It says, verse 10, Amalek said, "What is this that you have done to us? One of the people might soon have laid with your wife," I'm talking to adults here, "and you might have brought guilt on us." So, see, you could have brought guilt on us because of your lie and because of what you thought. It turns it around and you start some stuff that would have never happened if you wouldn't have thought. Amen. So 11, Amalek charges all his people saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." God is saying, you that touch the anointed of mine, surely you will be put to death. You that touch one of my children, surely you'll be put to death. This was the king. So he had favor with that king. Sometimes we're going to have favor with people out in the world. Amen. It's not always people in the church that blesses us. It's not always people that we think. We have to let God do it, right? We have some stuff going on right now from somebody that's in the world that, man, here we are. I'm telling you right now, some of you are going to walk into some blessings of God right now, and you have no clue who it's going to come from, because the people that we think it might come from is going to be a total different a people or a person that we have no clue. God told me that we're in the blessing time, we're in the blessing seasons, we're in the favor seasons, we're in the prosperity season. We are in the prosperity season. Exactly. I need you to hear what I'm saying, because, man, whoop, whoop. I'm going to grab that, because we're about to get some inheritance that we did not work for, because it was part of the promise. It was part of the promise. We're going to get there right now. It was part of the promise. So he says, "He who touches this man or wife shall surely be put to death." Do not touch God's anointed, or do not touch the God's appointed. If you are appointed to talk and preach the gospel of God, if you're appointed, and guess what? You're all appointed. You have all been called out of the dark into the light to be a representative of Jesus Christ. Who am I to say where you're at with your time or your walk with God? Amen. So, 11, so Amalek charged all his people, saying not to touch. 12, then Isaac sowed into the land and reaped the same year. So when you get those blessings and the prosperity, you need to sow right into the land, because he's giving it to you, because he's entrusting you with it, because he knows you're going to sow into the land. You're not going to run. You're going to sow into the land, he says. He goes, and a hundredfold, he says, then Isaac sowed into the land and he reaped. So I'm guaranteeing you that you're going to reap in the same year that you sow into the harvest. He says a hundredfold. Whatever you get, sow into the land. Whatever we get, we need to sow into the land. That's what he's saying, to sow into the land. For he possessed flocks, possessions of herd, and a great number of servants. It's big, people. It's big. Whatever God's doing is going to be big. I don't know who this is for, but I know it's for me. It's big. You need to receive it. It's big. What's coming to the body of Christ. I'm not saying just to me, but I know it's for me, but it's for everybody else that's going to hear and receive. Amen. So the Philistines were envy of him. There's people that are going to be jealous. What the heck just happened? What? Them? No, not them, Lord. They're like the ones that, oh, nobody would even think not, because God knows his children. See, God has protected us under his wing in the cliffs of the rock. He's protected us this far. You and I, he brought you here. We did not look for you. God brought you here. He says, I protected you, and I'm going to call others in. There's others that are going to come in. You're not here because, oh, I'm just going to go and be with Pastor Pete, Pastor Dennis, Pastor. No, God called you to be with him. He says, I need you to be. And the reason why, because of the spirit that Dennis and I have, we're just people. We're just people saved by grace. People that truly know us. Oh my God, have you ever seen them fight or argue? But man, I love that man. He loves me. Can we be an example that we're going to walk together no matter what? No matter that what's going to come our way, we're going to walk together. Nobody could talk about my husband to me. Nobody. I don't care what you say about him. I don't care what you say about me. Nobody could talk about us to each other, Because guess what? We're going to end up together at the end of the day. Amen? And that's a good thing. It goes on to saying this. People are going to, they're going to be envy. They're going to be jealous. But it's already been like that with us. Goes on to saying 15. Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servants have dug in the days of Abraham. So these water wells were Abraham. They got dirt and they say they stopped it up with the earth. This is, goes on to saying, and dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with the earth. So the enemy ain't getting this. I'm gonna cover that and get you out. Man, we've been through it. We've been through it. We've been through it. And then 16. Oh, my Jesus. He says, and Amalek says to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. We have been told that before. I don't want you guys coming here because you're going to grow too big, and then you're going to outnumber us, and then it's going to make us look like we're nobody. Come on. We serve the same God. Come on. 16, and Amalek said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Jesus. Then 17, Isaac departs from there, and he pitches his tent in the valley of Gera and dwelt there. He goes somewhere else, but what's really amazing, he stays in the same area. He doesn't go too far out of the area. Man, they're still there. They're in the same area. He just goes and pitches his tent somewhere else. But man, I thought they would have been wiped out. I thought they would have went back already and left God because of all the stuff that happened to them. Nope. He said, Isaac just goes, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else because Isaac was in trouble anyway for lying. But God in his gracious and mercy, oh my God. He goes in 18, he says, and Isaac dug again the wells of the water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of his father, Abraham, after Abraham. And he called them by the name which the father had called them. So he starts to dig up the wells, and he's going to do exactly what his father did. I'm going to name those wells the same names as the father did. So we're digging these wells as the father told us. What did the father tell you and I, Dennis? It goes on to saying, and Isaac's servants dug up in the valley and found a well with running water. So he did one well already. Now he's doing the second well. And he's digging up, and he says it's with running water there. But the herdsmen of that city, Gera, quarreled with Isaac's herds and saying, this water is ours. This church is ours, and you can't come in here. I'm not letting you come in. You have to stay out there. This water is mine. How many know that nothing belongs to us? It all belongs to God. Nothing is mine and yours, but the promises of God are yes and amen. And if he said he's going to give it to you, he's going to give it to you. I've seen too many things that happened in my life. But they got mad at Isaac, and they fought with him, and they argued with him, and they quarreled with him and said, no, this is my church. Go. This is my water. Get out. Because they quarreled with him. 21. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one. So I remember we going to Baldwin Park. I remember going to Covina. I remember coming to Glendora. Now the next move we make. and he moved from there because they quarreled. I'm 21. No, I'm going to go back. 19. That this water is ours. And they named that water Isak. How do you say it? Isak? No. This was, 1920, verse 20. Go back to verse 20. But the herdsmen of Gear quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And so he called the name of that well Isak, because they quarreled over it. So that well's there today. It says that the well's there. So what happened was, so because of that, they quarreled with him. 21. Then they dug another well. This is it, the well that we're in. We dug another well. And then he says, and they quarreled over that one also, so he called it Sitna. I was going to say, but Sitna in Hebrew word or Hebrew terms means Satan. I'm going to say that again. The third well, Sitna, I want to say something else. It meant Satan in Hebrew word. I looked it up, and that well is named that today. And he moved from there. We had to move again. Got to move again. And he said, and he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, or both, because he said, for now, the Lord has made room for us. God is about to make some room for us. God is about to make some room for you and I. I need you to see this. God is about to make some room for you and I, and we shall be fruitful in that land. Hallelujah. He says, I'm about to make some room for you, and there ain't nobody that's going to take it. There's nobody that's going to do. I'm about to make some room for you, and you will be fruitful. And this is why I believe that when God tells me something, I'm going to stand on it. Amen. I can't go where I want to go right now. But he says, then he goes on to saying, and he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him, Isaac, the same night and said, I am your God, Father. I am your God. Of your father Abraham, Pastor Dennis, I am your God, the God of Abraham. And he said, do not fear, for I am with you. I've been with you all this time. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servants Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug the well. Somebody has to be, man, this, somebody has to catch this. He says that somebody that, and the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am the Lord your God, Abraham, do not fear, for I am with you. I have been with you. I will bless you. I will multiply you. God has truly been with you. God has truly been with you. And you. And you. And me and you. He has truly been with us. God has blessed Dennis and I. We're blessed people. You're blessed people. Everybody here is blessed people. You're blessed. You are blessed. You're blessed. So 25, so he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Now, I want to go to Exodus. Where were you at, Pete? Deuteronomy 28. But what happened was that, so God was faithful to his promise. I'm telling you right now, if God said something to you, God is faithful at his promise. He's faithful. I'm not faithful, but I'm faithful through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Today I'm faithful. If you ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. If you are asked to do something and you can't do it, just say no. That's it. Just say no. Let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. That's it. Real simple. You can't do it. But it goes on to saying that those wells that they were digging and the servants, it didn't say it was Isaac. Look what it said. It said Isaac. It had said Isaac's servants started digging the wells. Isaac's servants. But you know the wells that we have been digging since you guys have been with Dennis and I? The wells of salvation. The wells of forgiveness. The wells of love. The wells of peace of God. The wells of redemption. Man, we've been digging and digging, and we had to find that love. I had to find that love. If God is going to use us as examples, these are the wells that we've been digging all this time. And now God says, I'm going to give you now yours. I'm making room for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm making room for you now. I'm not crazy. I just know what the Word of God says, and I keep it all to myself because then I hear Pastor Larry, and I'm, man, I read that a long time ago, but I wasn't supposed to teach that then because that was for me. That was for me to know that when he said it, man, I'm going to receive it. We should be receiving this from each other. What wells have you been digging? Is there a well that you need to dig? Is there some unforgiveness? And dig that well. We're going to dig it together. We're going to have that well of forgiveness, that forgiveness and that love. What's lacking? If it's financial, then let's dig it together. Sow some seed. Sow some seed and we'll dig that well together. Amen? Those are the wells that we are talking in our time. Those are the wells. I'm telling you right now, God is about to move and about to do something great in the body of Christ. And if you can't see it, then it's not for you. But it's for everybody that's a child of God. And do you know that not everybody's a child of God because they keep closing the door on God? Just saying what God had said. So he says, I'm making room for you now, Pastor. I'm making room for you now, Pastor. I'm making room for you now. I'm making room. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of more than enough. But when there's junk, he says, I'm taking all the junk out. I need to purify you. You need to be purified. You know when you're purified in that fire? I was purified in that fire. He was purified in that fire. Some of us need to go back to that fire and be purified of some junk, some stuff, some residue, because there's some residue. And God says, no, we can't go into the new promised land with all that junk. I'm not. So guess what? Dennis and I didn't have to do nothing. God shook the tree. God had to shake us. Amen. Because I'm not willing to tell somebody, get out. I'm not willing to say, hey, you're sinning. You got to go. No, I'm going to let God. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love you until you get tired and say, okay, I'm done. I'm done. Because God right now wants a holy people. He's looking for a holy people. And he's looking for those that are going to worship him in spirit and truth. Amen? And we got that spirit and truth already. But if there's some wells that need to be dug, we're here to help you. We want to help you. We're not here to kick you down. We're not here to throw you down. But God is going to open up some doors and let us help you. You know, call. Call somebody in the church. We got people that love. We got people that care. And we want to help you. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand because I know of time. But Pastor Pete, when you opened up this morning, the Lord gave the promises. You read Deuteronomy 28. If you could go ahead and stand. And the Lord is saying this to us. This is united in him and to all those that would hear. It's not just to us. It's to the body of Christ. Right now, he's shifting. Right now, he's shaking up. Right now, he says, if you've been out there, I'm about to move in your life. And I'm praying for souls. It's about souls. It's about our children. It's about our marriages. It's about our finances. It's about our health, our wholeness. It's about all that. I'm believing a breakthrough is coming for us in this hour. I'm believing if you're listening to what the Spirit is saying, he goes on to say, now it shall come to pass. Listen, now it shall come to pass. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, what voice are you hearing? Your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you high and above. See, he says we're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We're blessed going in and we're blessed coming out. Amen. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Overtake you. They're going to overtake you. Amen. Overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Wherever you lay your feet, wherever you walk, you're blessed coming in and blessed coming out. Amen. Everywhere you go, I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Amen. Not only that, he says, but you shall be fruitful in your body. There's healing coming to the house of God. There's healing coming to the house of God. There's healing. You're going to be blessed in your body. Long life over you. Long life. He says, and the ground and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle and your offsprings. Verse 5, blessed shall be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to defeat, be defeated before your face. We're going to see some people. We're going to see some people that have come against us, but we're going to pray for them. Amen. Let them to God. And they shall come out against one way and flee you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouse. And in all to which you set your hands on, wherever you put your hands, whatever you're doing, whatever you're working, he says, I'm going to bless that. And he will bless you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. Amen. The Lord will establish you as a holy people for himself. This whole time, he wants you to be a holy people for himself. This is it. He says, this whole time he's been leading us to be holy. He's been training us and teaching us to love one another, to forgive one another. So that he says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people for himself. I was born to please my Father in heaven. I was born to please my God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was born to do the will of my Father. You are born to do the will of your Father. Amen. Just as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments, if you keep the commandments, amen. Wasn't Isaac a liar? Wasn't Abraham a liar? But he loved God. They loved God, and they knew when they did something wrong, and they repented. Easy. Repent. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body. Again, he's saying, I'm healing. There's healing in the body of Christ. There's healing in the body of Christ. Increase in your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. The Lord will open up his good treasure. He's opening up his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land in season. We are living in the season of plenty and more than enough in Jesus' name. Amen. He says that you shall lend. This was, he said, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. And see, this is the word of God. I know this. This is in my heart. It should be that you declare a thing and it shall be established. That we declare this over this church and it will be established. Amen. He says, I command you today and carefully observe all that I told you today. I'm telling you. So you shall not turn to aside from the words of which I've commanded you to the right or to the left. People, I'm telling you, we need to go up. We can't be going off. We can't be going off. Not today. Not today. And I'm not saying, because we don't know the hour or the time when Jesus is coming, because Jesus is coming back for a people and Jesus is coming back for a church. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.